Blog Talk Radio.
You brought too many.
We'll be right back.
evening, November 27th, show number 192. Something smells good. Welcome to a delicious pre-Thanksgiving edition of Soul Tree Radio in the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram, DJ Honeycomb, and as always, it is good to have you in the house. A hump day special, but a very special hump day special, as we are giving thanks for all kinds of things. Some of them are in the oven as we speak. Soul Tree Radio in the Raw, sponsored by the Black Athlete Sports Network, Ron Rogers, CEO in loving memory, our friends at Blog Talk, our colleagues at WCLM, 1450, the soul of Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah.
Cowboy Reggie and Company, maybe riding in a little later on, as well as our brother up in New York at WUFO, 1080 AM, The Mix, the mighty Obob Pat Freeman, may he and his tribe increase, as well as our colleague Anthony Johnson, who does a wonderful job with his show, Thursday evenings, 9 to 11. Don't know if he'll be on Thanksgiving, but he always brings good food for the table, food for thought, that is, as well as we recognize our hard-working brothers, Mr. Jimmy Stevens and Mr. Craig Stroman, who are they're still gathering stuff as we speak when it comes to trying to put together food for homeless and for families so that they can not just eat tomorrow. And Mr. Stroman's organization, We Feed the Homeless Top Philly, does excellent work with that because he's there every week. He's not just there as a fad. It is a calling for this brother, and we have a lot of respect for him. He wants everybody to have the kind of atmosphere that goes with eating the meal, the family fellowship, and all those things that, you know, those little nuances that a lot of folks forget about when you're in survival mode. So we definitely recognize and give a lot of love and respect to that brother. And, as always, you guys. Oh, of course, Guardian Caps, Leander and Hanson, and Mike Feely, doing good work to take care of all athletes on every level, make sure that they don't go oops upside the head in a bad way. And all of you out there, hopefully you are enjoying or will enjoy. You know, we have mixed emotions about Thanksgiving because our Native brothers and sisters don't look at it as being a celebration, but we respect them. And all those who, you know, understand how the other meanings of so-called Thanksgiving would get twisted, as we say. Riding shotgun with me right now, as always, Mr. Biggs himself, Gary Norris Gray. What's up, G?
We got to give thanks to Kevin Singleton, too, because we're kids.
Oh, yes, most definitely. Brother Singleton, who will be on chiming in at some point, his organization, Kicks for Grades, has really started off on the right foot. You know, if you're a young one who's doing good in school, you might do even better on your feet if you get your card, your report card, that is, to Brother Singleton. We'll speak more on that later on because it might be one of the things he wishes to talk about. Tonight it's going to be the chef's choice, so to speak, as all the resident chefs are going to speak on specific subjects that matter to them or have either come across where we've talked about it and really getting a chance to sink our teeth into it as, you know, with what we do here, we don't have any shelf life on what we do. You know, the things remain pertinent because it is our take on it and whatnot, and that reflects as well the stuff that we write for Black Athlete. But, Gary, I have to open up with a little sad news. I'm sad to report that Seymour, who is the wild turkey that has been walking around in my neighborhood, has turned up missing. Now, I'm not one to instigate, but Seymour's ass had been bothering me from day one. First of all, y'all need to understand the backstory. 2 years ago, his cousin Egbert met with a similar fate. Well, he went missing. I ain't got to say nothing else. But Egbert ran up on me on a lawn as I was in my neighborhood. And he's, he was cussing me out. I was like, wait a minute. I live here. You know, he didn't give a shit. So I said, look, you that bad, you see me the day after Thanksgiving. And, of course, Egbert was nowhere to be found. And I'm fearful that a similar fate has befallen poor Seymour, who will now see a lot more gravy, more mashed potatoes, more green beans, and more peach cobbler than his ass thought he ever was going to see. clearly it is apparent that Seymour has met with, dare I say it, foul play.
You didn't go there.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And since I went there, I have to go ladies first. My co-host, she has definitely been busy with affairs of state and affairs of state. Celestial Alden Kelly. What's up, Celeste?
Happy, happy, gentlemen. I've been away too long, and I can tell you've been running amok. But especially you're allowing him to tell bad jokes. But
this is real. I mean, this the turkey things are real. I've had two run-ins with these turkeys. No joke.
Well,
they run, I don't know what it is about this area, but they run wild down here, and they act like they own the place.
They run up here because they do. We took it from them.
I'm telling you.
Listen, it's like people who move to bear country and are shocked that a bear is on their back porch, okay? So, you know. But let me tell you a turkey story. Up here at the college in Bloomfield,
mm-hmm.
a couple of young folks went to a local bar and had a few drinks. And one of the young ladies had never seen a wild turkey before.
Mm-hmm.
So the turkey's strolling across the quad,
mm-hmm.
and she sees it, and she decides to go onto social media and post that she saw an ostrich walking across campus.
No, she didn't.
Okay?
She
now, when you're drunk, first
turkey.
Of all,
yo,
you
Joe, yeah, she must say for real.
Okay? You say mm-hmm. that to your friend or the other drunk person who's walking with you and say, hey, look at that ostrich. Well, mm-hmm. needless to say, it went all around campus how this young lady saw an ostrich on campus, and all it was one of our friendly, well, sometimes they're not friendly, but wild turkeys that are strolling around. I haven't seen them this week.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm
Somebody
saying.
Put
this
out
one,
the word.
This one wasn't
you know.
Strolling, though, Celeste. This one was, he was on the lawn like he was waiting on the paper. I ain't lying. He was just chilling. So I'm like, and he starts gobbling at me like I ain't supposed to be here.
Well, you better be glad he didn't pull out a gun and hit you. Oh, look at that. That's a mic bird. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would have had something for his furry.
Oh, boy.
Mike, you're breaking up, baby.
You're breaking up. What happened? The government been listening to you again, Mike?
You know they are. I'm sorry, gang. Fred, can everybody hear me?
You're breaking
I
up
can
again.
Hear you, but you're breaking up.
You're breaking
See,
up.
This is what I'm, all right. Well, y'all carry on as I try to fix this up here. Professor, give us a Thanksgiving thought as what's your favorite aspect of Thanksgiving? What do you like most?
Well, we have somewhat of a tradition in our family that we call it circling because we get together in around, well, normally be around my brothers and sisters, but we lost one of each two months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So this year, you know, the big thing is to get through this. But we, you know, we it's like another family reunion to us. I mean, it's like a warm up because it's held in several different places. I'll be joining my brother's kids and his wife's. My brother's. Youngest son is hosting tomorrow along with his wife, and we're going to be hosting his family, her family, because we had a bunch of losses. So I get to go and be a part of that. But, you know, there will probably be a spade game or two that breaks out. And,
there you go.
You know, we have a family rule that if you don't talk trash, you can't play. They snatch the cards. And,
I like that.
You know, I mean, we don't get in all that intellectual stuff. It's mm-hmm. about having fun. But, you know, that's the biggest thing, you know, having grown up on a farm, I'm familiar with all those, well, probably more familiar with turkeys than you all are. But a
no
lot
joke.
Of my turkeys are usually relatives, so you know, we try to avoid them. But Thanksgiving is about having fun, really. I mean, you enjoy the food, fellowship. I can't wait to see my nephew, start talking about how he's going to help his brother get rid of the food tomorrow.
Oh, Lord.
it's a show. It is a, mm-hmm. And it'll be sort of down simply because we'll be at one of the brothers' house. So they usually sort of go tit for tat when they start this nonsense. And, you know, it's hilarious. They play golf, mm-hmm. and we play golf at family reunion. They don't, I think they won twice in about 10 years or 12 years, ever, how long they've been playing their cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Get up and make excuses about why the other one lost the match to the family again. But they won twice in the last 3 years, so.
All right.
Keep it coming around.
There you go. That sounds like a good start. We also have in the mix our youngest chef, the CEO of Kicks for Grades. We are very proud of him. Celeste, you really have missed a lot. Our young chef, Travis Singleton, is in the house. Travis, what's up?
How y'all doing? It might be a little
All
bad.
Right, and also, we also have Cowboy Reggie in the mix as well. Cowboy, what's going on?
You get the pictures I sent you, Mike?
No, but Mary better be working on that cake.
And you said sweet potato and greens, too.
Oh, see, that's what I'm talking about.
Gary's demon.
Well,
Mike, pardon my manners. We always have to say hello to the queen when we come in. Hello, beautiful. How you doing, dear?
Hello, my favorite cowboy.
You know I love you.
That's an oxymoron statement right there just by saying it, my favorite cowboy. Oh, Lord.
Hey, one thing my dad told me, if you get married, son, you can, remember one thing, you're going to be happy or right. So I choose to be happy.
I got to write that down.
You hear that, Travis?
Oh.
I hear it.
Did you hear that, Travis?
I hear it.
Pearls of wisdom.
Trust me on that, buddy.
I think that goes in the real talk youngins category right there, y'all. Yes, indeed.
I'm going to make sure I write that down.
I know that's right.
Chapter one.
Well,
I knew the lady
tonight,
would love it.
For tonight, what we want to do is, in addition to everybody throwing in their little Thanksgiving anecdotes and we make our little soul tree Thanksgiving feast, I want to touch back on stuff that may be of importance to every one of the chefs on staff that maybe we didn't have a chance to sink our teeth in, or maybe something that's bothering everybody now that y'all want to dig into and whatnot, because if there's one thing that we've discovered over the past few months where we've had our full staff of chefs online, it's that mainstream news ain't saying shit to us anymore. You know, we know they're bought and paid for, and, you know, more than ever, we're getting information firsthand from outside sources or everywhere in cyberspace are providing us with more pertinent information than we're ever going to get from mainstream news. So in that spirit, I'll start with you first, Celestial. You know, has there been a subject that's been on your mind, or maybe something that we touched on before that we really didn't get to sink our teeth into that you want to talk about?
Well, it's a thread that's going throughout everything that's going on now, but right now,
mm-hmm.
it seems the new assault is to attack our young children, especially our girls, now with the cutting their hair and hair is a distraction to the class and cutting braids and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't care if you're white or black or whatever. You don't mess with a woman's hair, number one.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. Okay? I don't care what your issue is. But to go back to being serious about it, you mm-hmm. are traumatizing our young ladies.
I agree.
It's bad enough that they're tearing women down in the United States now. You don't want us to have rights to our bodies, to our minds, mm-hmm. or anything. So now you want to start young.
Yeah.
Okay? It's going mm-hmm. along with anything. Since President Obama has come into office, they have lost their ever-loving minds. And all mm-hmm. this hatred that's been festering inside of them
sure.
is coming out. The more the things that they have done, they have been allowed to get away with, they say, okay, now what can we get away with next?
Mm-hmm.
They're going after our children now. It's bad enough they're shooting our men down the street. Now we got to, wait a minute, the fools running around punching each other. Okay, but.
Oh, yeah, don't get me started on that.
Yeah,
till
Mama shot a couple of them the other day. But
God bless them.
She said, you know what, you're going to punch me, I'm going to shoot you. Okay, now that's called self-defense and stand your ground.
Now that's standing your ground.
Mm-hmm. That's standing
your
ground.
But you would think after what happened to Trayvon, the last thing somebody would be thinking about is putting together some game where they're going to eject somebody by punching them on the sneak, you know, after what happened to Trayvon, who wasn't doing anything but getting some candy and a drink.
And the other thing, and I'm talking fast because I am really the chef in the house, and these brothers don't want to hear nothing tomorrow. There's no food on the table. Okay?
I know that's right. Cheryl's in the same mode as you were.
And you know how Joe can eat. So
oh, hell yeah.
I got 4 6-footers in my household, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't play. But anyway, the other thing that gets me, they are shocked about Zimmerman. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Lord, clutching my pearls.
Oh, yeah, indeed.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I don't know, I'm going to start stuttering. I just can't. I'm fearful for our young. I'm fearful for the women. I'm fearful that folks just don't realize how severe the hatred is out in the United States and around the world. But
mm-hmm.
Amen.
Right here in the United States, in your neighborhood, our young people are coming up with some hatred that is unbelievable. We didn't have to put up with that. We knew they didn't like us.
Mm-hmm.
We knew don't go across town.
Yep.
You know, we knew they didn't like us.
It's gone way beyond that now, though. It really has.
Yeah.
The whatever circuit breakers that they had mentally were there, they're gone. They've been long busted, and I want to tie in all the things that you just mixed in there because the most recent evidence of this, especially with girls, just happened a couple of days ago, or at least I've seen it a couple of days ago on social media, and it involved a little girl down in fucking Florida, man. It's becoming the asshole in the universe, I swear to God. This girl's 12 years old. From all accounts, she's a strong sister. She's got natural hair. And she's been going to the same school, I guess it's a charter school, since she was in third grade. And now, all of a sudden, they're making regulations about her hair. This reminds me of something Paul Mooney said a long time ago. And he said, when your hair's relaxed, white people are relaxed. And when your hair's nappy, they ain't happy. And, there may be a humorous angle to that, but there's a lot of truth to it. Because I always go back to the 70s, where after James Brown said, we're beautiful, black and proud, all that stuff, and we responded in the 70s with something that hadn't been seen from the time I was born in the 50s, and that was we liked what we saw in the mirror. There was big afros and the daishikis and everything else, and we could surely make fun about the clothes that we wore, but we did wear those clothes. Those clothes didn't wear us. And all that beauty that came out, all that self-love, all that creativity, whether it was manifested in funk music or the action flicks or whatever it was being expressed, and it was a lot blacker than a lot of people wanted it to be. And they curtailed that immediately from subtle things like going from funk to disco and all those things that went in between. You know, how hip-hop has now become not necessarily co-opted, but, I mean, hip-hop's mainstream now. Who would have thought when we were all teenagers back then, with the exception of Travis, that hip-hop ever would have been considered mainstream? So you throw this in, and you throw in the hate factor that you just talked about, Celeste, where I even saw Farts News go on a rant comparing President Obama to that crackhead, Humpty Dumpty-looking motherfucker up in Toronto, who's the mayor, Rob Ford, and trying to make comparisons between the two of them regarding their so-called lack of leadership. This is how insidious this shit is going. They are not playing in terms of pretending anymore. It's like, we don't like this black motherfucker up in here. We try to get rid of his black ass. It ain't happening. And that I go to Reggie first because, Reggie, most importantly, seeing little girls, like Celeste said, get shit on for stupid stuff like this, I'm worried about the lack of response from the black community. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with y'all? You know, girlfriend is a good student. What you worrying about her hair for? You know, how dare you cut off somebody's braids? I don't even want to know whether or not that teacher survived, because I know that was a black woman whose braids were cutting off her daughter. Somebody would be picking her ass up off the floor. You know, God only knows if that had happened to Sonic Cheryl or Celeste, any of our chefs would have been around. I can't even think about it. But you
those
get around
are
warm, Reggie.
Now.
Oh, hell yeah, definitely. So.
Yeah, but see, Mike, here's my issue again. When the black community as a whole, when it comes to voting, when it comes to getting behind a candidate, when it puts the money where the mouth is, unfortunately, the masses have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and led astray. We so damn worried, again, about the youth. Well, we failed the youth. Back in the 60s and 70s, and I always like to kind of lean on Doc for this, for the intellectual honesty. When affirmative action came in and they had the civil rights, you had a group of black folk that said, we got ours, to hell with you. What do the Jews do? Every time somebody's born, they teach their history. They teach their culture. They teach that you need to go out there and provide for the family. When you got a baby at 13 having a baby, when you have the system that said, we're going to go ahead and put a woman into a housing project, and 20, 30 years later, the damn grandma is living in the same project, this is the craziness that goes on. And when the youth were out there back in the day that won guidance, I'm sorry, but I remember when the brothers had the flags in the Olympics and the sprinters, and they was running around waving. Everybody got so upset. And everybody like, look at these fools. Look at these clowns. What about mine? We have failed them. That's why right now you have the rappers that come out and act all crazy. And the first thing that the record companies do, we'll promote the craziest thing we can for the culture of music. No, we won't do the drumming. We won't do from Africa. No, we won't do the HBCU bands. No, we're not going to do that. That's a positive. You know, the positive rappers. You know, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to get rid of you guys. But just like we, the gangster rap infiltrated, and you see the craziness. Oh, and by the way, the sidebar, how come it's always that you got these black gangsters that want to bring the worst element of drugs into our community, then they want to glorify them on some damn movie? Unreal. But you won't show anything about Nat Turner, though, will you? A Gabriel Proctor or the young lady who was a spy back in the day that worked at the White House. You won't show a damn thing about her or Harriet Tubman. And on the sidebar, that goes to Mississippi. I saw that Whoopi Goldberg. Oh, man, for that bastard Beckman to blow Megan Evans away in front of his house, in front of his kids, even the white man said, what kind of monster does this? And he stands down in front of the screen and say, yeah, I killed the nigger. Yeah, what you going to do? Come get me. And they finally got him to, what, 60 years later? Just my thought.
Yeah. Well, Mike, to just add on to what you were talking about black power movement and hair, Dr. Gates, episode 6 that aired this week on PBS, he went through exactly that. And they had the sister, can't remember her first name, last, Cleaver, when it was married to Cleaver. And she was talking about how the Panthers came to be and all the good they brought to the community until they told the man, look, we don't give a damn what you do. We're going to protect our people.
Yes, ma'am.
And then they started going out there, and then they started getting threatened, and FBI and on and on and on. But they talked about Soul Train, you know, when everybody used to dance and have a good time without having the behind hanging out. You know. Now you got Rihanna, who's a beautiful sister, who has a great voice, but she's gonna show up on a national show with a doobie. I mean, come on, brothers. You know what a doobie is? You'll get your hair done and put hairpins, bobby pins in your hair.
Preach.
You know, so
preach.
You got to know your history, people. You got to know your history. That's why, as old as I'm still in school. Because even though I think I know a lot, I realize I don't know much. People are bragging about how great the movie, what is it, 12 Years a Slave? What's the name of the movie? All you got to do is pick up a book. This isn't new.
Thank you.
The only time you're going to know your history is when you go to the movie.
It goes beyond it. This week, I was thoroughly disgusted this week. I mean, disgusted when the American Music Awards, her favorite male artist, was so R&B. You know what?
Timberlake.
Thank you. You know what was the favorite album of R&B? Timberlake. You're telling me all these black artists in this country that you couldn't find.
Because they ripped us off, brother. You know that. And we let them do it.
Only one black artist won an award. You know who that was? Fanning. What?
Who was it?
That's what they want you to see. They want you to see a dysfunctional black woman. That's what they want you to see.
Well, when Timberlake let Janet take the fall, I was done with
Thank
him a long time ago.
But see, and Janet simply left the scene. She said, "Fuck this! I don't want nothing to do with this." She embraced Islam and she became a Muslim. But to Gary's point, this is a nasty precedent that's coming in front of everybody's face, and we don't get enough musicians to speak on this because Justin Timberlake and Robin Thicke, whatever his name is, they are part of a bigger problem. When Timberlake and Jay-Z bitched up in Florida after the Zimmerman verdict, I was already upset because it wasn't just that they reneged, but they saw what Stevie Wonder had done and what Chaka Khan and Eddie Levert had done, and it was a direct smack in their faces, and then the Belafonte statement on top of that made it even worse. So we see that this wasn't even a disconnect. See, in the 80s or whatever, we could blame a disconnect to Reggie's point. But this was a direct smack in the face.
What the fuck
do y'all know? You know? It's like, y'all don't know nothing. You know? We what's happening now. We run this. And it's not them running this. You know? The real crooks ain't the ones with the pants hanging down. I actually put this in a meme that came up before. They ain't the ones with the pants hanging down, getting ready to bend over because they somebody's bitch. The real crooks are the ones wearing the fucking ties, who signed the contracts for these kids. You know, they don't want the boardroom runs this. We should, anybody who has any kind of disagreement with this should know that we saw proof of that when Congress shut down for 2 weeks and we paid the crooks to shut the fuck down.
Sure
we paid
did.
Them. All of us did.
Yep.
You know, this wasn't some revelation. We all did this. And this is red money, blue money, straight money, gay money, reactionary money, progressive money.
Yep.
It was all our money. And we all fell for the okey-doke. 2 weeks, 15 fucking days, and they all got paid. And we remember when we talked about it on this show, and I'm going to Fred now, where Fred had that representative down in North Kakalaki who was losing her damn mind because she said, fuck y'all, I got to get paid. I'm getting my paycheck. And everybody called out. Y'all remember that? It's like, you know, that means it can't get more funky than that, bro.
Mine's a terrible thing to wait.
At least she was honest.
True that.
Thank you.
Because she wasn't willing to give up anything.
40.
At the same time, she's going through this starting all this nonsense about how, quote, conservative she is.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. She let you know, I'm conservative as long as I'm getting my money.
Liver on
I ain't going to suffer. Suffer like
that's
you fools.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, just bring it down.
And don't get me wrong, I literally have no respect for that heifer because she talks all these yangs. She'll fly on military aircraft to places she wants to go, and she's too cheap to pay, although she's raking in six figures plus what she makes in Congress. So, you know, it's not like she's broken begging unless she got some habits that just haven't come to light like the gentleman from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But back to the aforementioned Jay-Z and all those kind of folks.
Please.
You know, I went to a public high school that I remember I had to have been in like at least the 7th or 8th grade before I got books that didn't have a bunch of white folks from cross town's name in it. And all the things that go along with that. At the same time, I had teachers who, quote, taught me how to act like I had some sense, even if I didn't. You know, some of us are old enough to, mature enough to recognize that when people back then told you to act like you had some sense, you act like you had some sense, whether you had some or not. It just came out of you that way. Well, nowadays, the prevailing thought is act like a bigger ass as you possibly can and get away with it. Unless we have the Jay-Z's, Timberlake,
Kanye West,
Coonhead West. When his greatest claim to fame is he's screwing somebody who everybody else can screw.
That's Dr. Whit putting it right where the goats can get it.
And when you look at that, you know, I can only imagine what he went through, Beyonce, because remember he got up and made a jerk out of himself, talking about what a great artist she was and all that kind of stuff. Okay, you'll do it. Now, he will do it on that stage. And then, you know, after that, Beyonce. But, you know, you go from talking about what a great artist she is to the Tramp of the Year.
Yep.
And you're going to go through all this, quote, to get her to, quote, marry you.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like I told a young lady in my church one time, you know, she met somebody that I knew from college. And I'd always joke with people at my church about, hey, if you run into people who really know me, they tell you I'm the pickiest Negro they ever met.
Yeah.
And somehow or another, the subject came up, and, oh, you know, Fred, is he still picky? What do you mean, is he still picky? He's picky. And I just learned long before all the STDs that we have now are out there, I just learned back then, you can't follow everybody without catching. The best description I can give it, remember the bit that Robert Townsend did on some show he used to do on, I want to say it was on HBO, and he's in the room with his wife, and they start coming clean about who they've been in bed with.
Right.
By the time they finished, the room was full of people.
Uh-oh.
I remember that.
That was a scenario, a life scenario I never bought into. Now, I somewhat jokingly say that I would go the way, like one of the sheiks of Arabia and Lost Arabia types, where it's just you and 511 women, cool, they're your women. But as we used to say, following some of the guys that we knew with some of the ways that they had,
Yes, indeedy.
And see,
that's old hell with several L's on the M. Thank you.
Yeah, well, the big L's. And when I look at the Jay-Z's of the world, just because you become a good Negro don't make you a good person for your people. And he's living proof. I can understand, it's just like I always say, I can understand a person still into feed their family, because I've seen that. I used to work, I worked retail for 5 years after college. I've seen people who literally stole. I was in a grocery store when someone was stealing and got caught. And the whole thing was they were feeding their hungry children, trying to feed their hungry children.
No joke.
I can go with that to a point.
Yep.
But when stealing is your way of life.
Yep.
And when you look at what Jay-Z truly, when you look at the big picture of what Jay-Z did, he was stealing. He was doing more than just stealing money. The money was legit to a point. The problem was he was stealing young people's minds.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. That's where the real crime is.
When I look at that and I hear, the great lyrics by Biggie Smalls, where he rhymes under rules. Come on, how trivial can you be?
But you know what? Biggie was never more than what he was. Jay-Z has given everybody that he's more. He's given the impression that he's more than what he is. Jay-Z is nothing more than a dealer who is now protected at probably the highest level, and he'll be that way until someone takes his place. If y'all remember Superfly, you remember the Eddie character? That's
Ronald
who Jay-Z is to me. You know, he's like, I got protection. You know, I'm living like, to his quote, a fucking black prince. And he don't give a shit about anybody else. When he snubbed Harry Belafonte, it was on.
Yep.
Because that brother has been through too much for too long and stood up for too much for too long to have someone come up to him and diss him like that. And Belafonte was right. I don't give a shit what anybody says. And even if he had been askew in how he went about what he did, he had the right to do that. He had the leeway that would be afforded an elder. So when
yeah.
he would step to him, you had to step to him like an elder with respect and say, yeah, well, you know, it's like you had to step to him and say with respect, you know, Mr. Belafonte, I disagree. We can talk about this somewhere else. And then you hash that out. You don't come out there and put that shit like out there on Front Street and dog him out like that, especially, and again, this all happened after Zimmerman. So all of this is happening. You know, the rumor went from Jay-Z and Timberlake are going to back all these groups and all these acts that ain't playing in Florida. The impact of that would have represented billions of dollars. And no knock on the good people that are in Florida, but the other assholes, we're going to have to make them pay a price for it. And it would have been a very effective price, which is why I'm very disappointed that it went the way it did. And unfortunately, no one has said anything in between that gives any credence to the reality that Jay-Z was ever going to do something like this in the first place. This was all
nothing
but a scam.
Hey, Mike, can I throw something in for you?
Please,
Mike,
throw something
in the pot. Mike, I want to throw something real quick. Okay, mm-hmm. You remember when a lot of the Latin players were upset when the All-Star game was supposed to be in Arizona?
Yes, I remember
that. They said
that
there was no protest. Okay.
That's right.
At the time, it was a show called Sports Overnight out of California. And
mm-hmm.
I used to call in the record. When I made the call and said, I understand why the Latino players did not want to participate because of the laws in Arizona.
Sure.
And the next day I tried to call, I got barred off that show. All I'm saying again is that, yeah, it might have been that one of the instances, but the bottom line is that when people stand up, you got those forces out there that say, hey, you messing with my money. Just like in Malcolm, get your hand out of my pocket.
Yeah.
And again, in my humble opinion, you got a lot of black politicians out here, and I get right here in the city of Richmond, Virginia, Mayor Dwight Jones. Now, check this out. I just want to lay the table to you real quick. I'm not trying to take up the time, but one person that was went to jail. Her name was Reverend Hedgepeth. You can Google it. Okay, she was on Richmond City Council. The person that's the head developer for the baseball field in the Slave Museum in Richmond right now was a white guy who gave her a $1,500 bribe. She went to jail. You had a former city council person by the name of Monty Jewell was on the local show, came out and say, well, the guy wasn't that bad. He was just trying to get in politics, and he knew what he was doing. Yeah, he knew what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's just amazing. Again, we have a black politician, and this is the same Monty Jewell that was under former governor and mayor Doug Wilder that stood right there and helped block the slave museum, which we know down in Lumpkins and Richmond, Virginia, where the slave trail went right through.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, these Negroes want to sit back and try to cut a deal. And the ground right now where they're trying to build a baseball field is on swampland. They think between 10 and 20 years, the whole damn thing is going to sink. But yet, they're trying to pour $300 to $400 million to a project, and they don't even have the funds to do it. And this is on the black leadership on the sidebar. He's a preacher.
Well, they've been studying under the best. They've been studying the other criminals and thinking that they can get their piece of the rock too. But, you know, I want to divert from that briefly because right now a lot of people are trying to get from point A to point B to be with their loved ones on Thanksgiving. And the movie, they're taking planes, trains, and automobiles. But having said that, our transportation system is in a fucking mess because Amtrak has had major derailments that the information has not gotten out about, and they're pretending that everything is all tickety-boo. Now, in the last 3 months, there have been derailments of Amtrak trains in New England. We just had one in South Carolina, you know, and we're talking about a major thoroughfare. Obviously, if you're talking the I-95 corridor, South Carolina just had a major accident, and then there was one out west near Minnesota. So in the midst of all of this, we did a show a few months ago. I believe Fred, me, and Gary were at the front of that, where we were talking about how in China they've perfected their version of the bullet train. And they can go from one part of China to the other part in the same manner that we could go cross-country. Well, actually, from coast to coast. I won't say cross-country. From Seattle down to L.A. in, you know, a commensurate distance.
Yeah.
For something like $140 U.S. Now, we've had so-called high speed on the rail on the drawing board for the longest time. We've heard nonsense coming out of Texas, how the oil lobbies were fucking with how they were doing things down there. Word came out about how senators in states like Iowa and Michigan and Wisconsin were also interfering because the money wasn't in their pockets, and they were getting money from lobbying interests to make sure that high-speed trains didn't help link up our country. Now, we've never had this kind of animosity to the point that go where Celeste started regarding progress for country at all, as a whole. So now we have transportation, something that really should have been taken care of a long time ago. Who gives a fuck what color the president is? We've already seen two bridges fall in the time that the president has been in office, one in Minnesota and one in Washington State. We have seen
derailments.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We've seen derailments that haven't been reported in mainstream media.
But what about, have you guys heard about the Amtrak train that got lost leaving Philadelphia?
Oh, I didn't even know about that one. Tell me, Celeste. How the hell are you going to get lost?
He got lost.
Yes.
Now, where's that train at?
Now,
I thought you saw it. No, I don't know where it's at.
Yeah, Celeste.
You know, I've been taking that train from Philadelphia since I was – I'm a Philly girl. The train –
you taking it there.
Oh, I have a couple of Amtrak stories, but that's for another time. But this train left 30th Street Station going to New York. Somehow it was going to New York from 30th Street Station, Philadelphia.
Right.
From one major station to another.
Right.
Okay? Somehow it wound up on the suburban tracks and got lost. And it sat there. Okay?
Was there any money involved? Is the money
well,
train?
Look, I know them people. When you know them people going to New York, they're trying to make appointments. You know, that's a quick run.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anybody who knows anything about leaving 30th Street Station, even if you don't know how to drive a train, even if you've rode the train once or twice, when you come out, you know the first thing you're going to see is the Philadelphia Zoo.
That's right.
If you don't see the Philadelphia Zoo and you go a little bit further, you should get to North Philadelphia. Now, somehow, somebody didn't switch the tracks. Somebody didn't say, wait a minute, I think something's not right. No, this bobo keeps driving. Then they sat on the tracks and didn't tell the passengers anything. So when they finally figured it out and went and rescued the hostages from the Amtrak train, they said they were taking the crew off so they could retrain them. Okay? I got on an Amtrak train going from Newark, New Jersey to Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. The 341 out of Newark, which arrived 25 minutes late. I got on, sat down, fell asleep, woke up. They had to change the engine. We had to wait for them to go into New York to Sunnyside Yard to get a new engine, bring it in.
That's
change the train, change the engine. Told us it still was wrong and we would have to go half speed into Philadelphia.
Ooh.
So we coasted to Philadelphia.
Where
they put a third engine on. So the 341 from Newark, New Jersey reached Washington, D.C. at 10:30 p.m.
Oh, my God.
Night.
That's twice the time. That's a 3.5-hour ride.
Yes.
Today,
the bar was empty. The beer was gone. The wine, all the liquor was gone. And the front half of the train was was drunk.
Now, you see, now that's humorous, but see, there's a nasty side to that that's not being brought out. And this is where the danger is. That train drifted out or what, lost or not, on that suburban track has to intermingle with other lines running on that track, like New Jersey, like the New Jersey Transit, other SEPTA. There are other long-distance train routes that go through there. It's a hub.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could have seen a major accident happen because we know, and if you've been on those trains, you know, you could be laying up that window, getting ready to doze off, and you say, train is flying by because, you know, it's the Acela, Express, you know, going at 130 clicks an hour, and you're just wondering, well, thank goodness I ain't the path of this train. This is a big problem that's going on here, and the oil lobbies have conspired to hinder our progress because these motherfuckers want to keep shit status quo. And if it was a white president supposedly in office, we know because now, thanks to Citizens United, corporations are so deep into this that even with somebody who would have been palatable in the presence of the so-called minority, there still would be all kinds of mechanisms going on, machinations going on regarding trying to get this thing resolved because there's too much money involved. There's too much high stakes involved. The technology that's making trains in China fly from point A to point B was supposed to be here, what, Sless, 20 years ago? You know, Gary, you live out there on the West Coast. Arnold was talking about this shit when he got in. You know.
Well, in 2008, we were going to have a train to go from Sacramento to L.A. by 2011.
Yep.
Well, it's 2013, and they haven't even started yet.
And it's getting even more interesting because now they're experimenting with mag-level trains. You know, they may have been referred to in science fiction like trains that literally ride on a bed of electromagnets and a strong force that does what it's supposed to do, which even pushes the speed even more. We know that for a fact, around the world, there's been this technology that's steps ahead of everybody because politics has been getting in the way. In Bosnia, of all places, Bosnia's got high-speed trains that can't run on their tracks because the tracks aren't fixed to specs yet. There's a company, Talgo, that's based in Venezuela, where I've actually seen their trains. I actually had the chance to ride the subway in Caracas back when I sang back in the day. Modern, clean, unique, does the job. But if you don't have the grunt workers there to make the tracks, if you don't have the skilled people, the carpenters, the iron workers, all these people here who have been the bedrock of what our society has been when we were manufacturers, if they're not trained, if they're too stupid and we have to get work from elsewhere or you know, subcontract our work to other countries to do work that Americans have been doing all along, there you see the total injustice of all of this. And this is high crime we're talking about because it's not about Americans being lazy. The president has been trying to sign an infrastructure bill for the longest time. You know, he's been trying to get vets to work for the longest time. 14 bills specifically about vets, at least two or three specifically about infrastructure, and none of these motherfuckers have passed because of Congress and the dick dastardly shit that they're doing. And Travis, I know you bop back in when you get a chance, but we see this kind of thing all the time. And Fred, you more than anybody understand that the military really is at a loss because of what's being done here, because people are coming home in all kinds of bad shape, and we're not taking care of them, but we're waving fucking flags made in China on NFL fields.
Yep. Again, this whole Tea Party mentality has so permeated our society that, you know, I don't know what it's going to, I know something has to give, so to speak. I just don't know when, where, or how it will or how to make it happen. Because when you look at the situation when it comes to the military, you know, one of the things that we used to have a place here called Pope Air Force Base,
yeah,
which was the quote, was like the conveyor for the 82nd Airborne, the heart of the 18th Airborne Corps. And they have a tradition that says within 18 hours they can have boots on the ground wherever you want to drop them. They can do that. Well, it takes about 3 or 4 hours now to get the planes here. Because they're not stationed here.
Okay.
You used to see C-130s on the regular. Mm-hmm. Now you see C-130s now and then, and they're more likely to be going into the local airport than they are to be coming into either Simmons or Simmons Army Airfield or I think it's called Pope Army Airfield now.
Right.
Because these gentlemen, these conservatives, have so stripped things down to a point where they're practically useless.
Yeah.
And when you're getting ready to make a move and you gotta bring in an airplane from South Carolina, how is that more efficient? It just cannot be.
Mm-hmm.
As if you don't, you're saving, so they say, but it costs you more. I mean, it costs you more just to get an airplane. You got to bring an airplane in from, 100, 200 miles away? How can that possibly be less expensive?
Exactly.
You tell the generals what you want. You know, generals are, you know, I know Reggie's been in the Marine Corps, so he knows about this whole thing about the military mentality when it comes to following orders. They will get you as best they can. They're going to get you what you ask for.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it doesn't matter how stupid it may be.
Sure.
And, you know, so many times congressmen and so forth, they get under the skin of military people, and they heck with it. You know, I got a job.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I keep my nose clean, I'm going to make rank. I'm going to move up the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and after my 20 is over, I'm going to go out of the military and come back in as a civilian and make twice or more than what I'm making now. So the heck with it. I don't have to, I don't have to expose myself to the dangers. But, the true tragedy here is when you look at other aspects, because the military operational system is set up in such a way that, I mean, they can function on almost nothing. You got soldiers who are trained, and I literally mean trained to do stuff that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
We saw Rambo, and everybody, oh, that's cute. No, those guys are walking around here. Those guys are walking the street here. Those guys look at you, like this guy used to tell this joke about this guy who knew martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy looked at him and talked about how I'm going to kick your behind, this kind of stuff. The guy looked at him. The guy standing there looking at him, he said, "What you looking at?" He said, "I'm looking at how many ways I could have had you dead by now." What do you mean by that? That's it. How many ways I could have had you dead by now, because I know how to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know how to kill you, and it's literally with their bare hands.
Yep.
Mm-mm-mm.
That reminds me of that old joke about, Reggie, that reminds me of that old joke about man was getting ready robbed by somebody who was a karate man. He said, "Stick him up, I got a black belt." Brother man looked back at him and said, "Well, you're going to need that to lower your ass on the ground."
That might be an old Richard Pryor joke when they stand on top of the bridge. When the friends say, "Hey, man, this water cold." "Yeah, deep too."
and deep too. You know, as we go.
God
to
bless
deep Richard. Too.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I want to get deep regarding this money that Fred's talking about, because, Celeste, let me go to Gary first. Gary, we had seen something a while ago. We didn't get a chance to talk about it a lot. A politician who was crying the blues because he was making only $172,000 a year. I don't know if y'all remember that, but he was pissed because he was saying, and this was right at the height of the government getting ready to shut down, that, you know what, if I was a lobbyist, I could make three times as much money right now. You know,
yes,
I mean,
sir.
I could make 500K, but yet I'm stuck here because he was a son of a bitch from Georgia. I think his name was Gingrey, because it wasn't Newt Gingrich, but his name was Gingrey or something like that. And he said, I'm only making $172,000. Well, boo fucking who?
Only,
he says. Now, only. Now, Gary, you know, are you going to bitch about making $172,000 a year and free health care because you're going to get the best health care you can get courtesy of our taxpayer money?
The Tea Party and their gang are getting paid to undermine the government.
They're
getting paid to undermine Obama.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting paid to undermine the whole foundation of this
mm-hmm.
nation.
You know, all due respect, Mike, I got a different take to that. I mean, I understand that, yeah, and Gary talked about the big money that,
come
you
on
know,
with
that the people put in. But the bottom line is you got just many Democrats that are pissed off with President Obama and not helping them. I hate
mm-hmm.
to bust some bubbles.
No, listen, it's not. Well, the Tea Party encompasses Republican and Democrats, as far as I'm concerned. Go ahead, Gary.
Yes, it does.
Look, we are the people. The government works for and by the people.
Mm-hmm.
We need to demand by the government, and we have it.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in the South, what happened
mm-hmm.
in the Midwest, is we got lazy. And we
mm-hmm.
need to take over the government.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're paying for it.
Well, you know, looking at this whole scenario of people by the people for the people and all that kind of stuff. Most of
mm-hmm.
that stuff got washed under the bridge years ago because
yeah.
when all this was put together, you had a totally different scenario in operation. You
sure.
you had people, remember, you know, what state is it where they do the caucuses, like Indiana, I mean, anyway,
Iowa?
Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Coldest darn place on this earth.
you
know, when you look at a place like Iowa, you know, how do they, how, you know, look at how they do the selection process for, they don't go through no primary where you just show up, drop your vote in. Like, they go, they caucus, they meet, they
yep.
caucus, this kind of stuff. Now, that is all for and by.
Mm-hmm.
And antiquated as you may think it is, that's all for and by. Now, when you look at states, and I'll just use North Carolina as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Every few days I stop by one of our local watering holes and I listen to people. I don't get to say a whole lot because they think they shouldn't listen to me because I'm one of them damn Republicans. But
uh-oh.
Guess what? The other day, the subject came up about party loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our commissioner just announced he's not running again because he's actually
right.
going to be running for I think it's called clerk of court.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, after 20 years, it's time for him to do something different so he can get his edge back or whatever. You know,
mm-hmm.
and he's an HBCU grad, so I'm not going to put him down about certain things. But I will say a lot of what he has done to me left a lot to be desired. And during this conversation, I told him, I said, well, you know, there is no such thing as party loyalty when it comes to white because I've been there. I've seen them. I've seen the checks they write.
Mm-hmm.
No, they can't be like that. You know, they yellow dog Democrats. I said, they can be as yellow a dog as you ever want to be, I think.
Wow, wow, wow.
I've been at the table with these jokers. I've seen them write.
Blue
you know,
dog, too.
I said, remember that day we were over at the drugstore, which was the old watering hole? And I said, remember that day we were there and everybody was so surprised. This lady walked in and said, hey, friend, how you doing? And my answer was, hey, Sue, how you doing?
Oh, my God.
I said,
it was a shock. First name basis. Uh-oh, Dot. Uh-oh.
Yeah, I mean, listen. I was invited to sit at their table.
Mm-hmm.
Now, get
like
this.
Moving the butler.
Sue Sue was the wife of a sitting Democrat county commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Her sister sitting at the other table is the wife of the sitting Democrat Party chairman.
Mm-hmm.
And see, in North Carolina, rule of thumb, so your good black folks don't see you, the rule
mm-hmm.
of thumb is 50 miles away and $50 where they got to pay for the ticket. Negroes
mm-hmm.
yep. won't show.
True that.
Thank you. Thank you.
And by the time I got through talking, you know, they were looking at each other like, as if to say, one, how are we going to get this Negro? And they know, let's get this Negro alone.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one of the guys spoke up and said, yeah. Because he said, you know, I've talked to these folks. I know this is what they do.
Yeah.
And see, we as a people have gotten, you know, like I said, Democrats play to compete. Republicans
That's right.
play to win.
Yes,
they
part
do.
Part of playing to win is they got people on both sides of the table so that they ain't never out of somebody at the
That's
table.
That's exactly right. That's right. They are locked
and
up to when that message
all
is.
All so well
mm-hmm.
when Governor Martin got elected in 1984
yep.
and took office in 1985. You know, they were so shocked that they get this. When black folks constituted less than 10% of the Republican Party,
mm-hmm.
and the Republican Party had less than 10%, had just over 10% of the electorate, but they
mm-hmm.
elected the governor.
That's right.
Well, guess what he managed to do? After 100 years of black, after 50 years of black loyalty to the Democrat Party, and all this other yang, homeboy finds a Negro who is
mm-hmm.
going to be on the governor's cabinet by appointment.
Yep.
Smart move.
And he brought him in as some low-ranking so-and-so. He came in as Secretary of Corrections.
Yep.
Now, for
Thank
the
you.
First time in history, the sitting Democrats who controlled the House and Senate until this past In this past election, when they lost their ass up one side and down the other, and now
mm-hmm.
we got Republicans, we got Tea Partiers in power, who are screwing things up one side and down the other.
Yep.
But you know, they found Dr. Aaron Johnson, who became the first black on the governor's cabinet
mm-hmm.
in the history of the state of North Carolina.
Yeah.
And everybody was so shocked, you know, and especially black folks.
Mm-hmm.
And when we would make comments as Republicans would make comments about, okay, this is good for you. No, I'm messing up everything. How idiotic can you be?
Clueless.
But, you know, and this is really scary because I agree with Reagan on a whole lot of this stuff. You know,
mm-hmm.
We the people has to go back to people who are willing to take a stand, because if you stand, you know, if you don't stand for something, you stand for anything, or you
for
stand
anything.
For nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, we got some Negroes in place who will sell their soul for rock and roll and walk away.
Thank you.
As soon as the tune is over.
Yes,
you know,
that.
Remember all them people, you know, even to, you know, because I want to be 100 on this. I have little or no respect for Berry Gordy. As great as I think what he did was, I have no respect for him because he turned out to be just like the white boys who were screwed on them black artists.
Amen.
And
there you go.
Exhibit A,
Thank
I give you Florence Ballard. Why did that
yep.
woman die?
Mm-hmm.
A pauper.
Exactly.
Yes.
And all Three. The money he made off of her, he had like he know her.
Come on.
You see, that's the same stuff, you know, that white folks was doing to us. And we complain about it. Well, why?
There you go. Yep.
You take it from
yep.
him.
Yep.
You know, if a snake bites you,
it's still a snake.
Yeah,
exactly.
You
know, exactly.
Remember that song? Remember, you know, take
yep.
me in.
Oh yeah.
Remember, I'm
the
a snake.
Al Wilson, take me in, oh tender woman. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Thank
you. See, we get all forgiving, and we get all forgiving when it comes to what the Democrats do. And I just sit and watch sometimes, you know, realistically, the health care bill went through over the dead bodies of a whole lot of Democrats because the first time they pushed it up, it was them that got all conservative. We don't know. But see, there and see now, as a backdoor piece of legislation, a lot of them are supporting these bills. They're talking about doing away or reducing Medicare. And right now, if you don't have health insurance, guess what your insurance is? Medicare.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yes, it is. Hey, Mike, if I do a sidebar, you had a friend of mine, Dr. Senator Edlow, who under the Democrat administration of Warner, he put him into the health committee and saved the state of Virginia $3 billion. But yet he wouldn't put him on the board. George Allen Cocker comes in and says, you know, Dr. Leonard Edlow, you say Mark won a lot of money, but he won't sign to a board. Well, guess what? I'm going to put you on the board. Just like the movie The Butler, it was Ronald Reagan, not Jimmy Carter, that gave them a raise. And I'm like, ain't this a kick in the head? So I'm just saying, you know, Doc is right. And Doc, what you say? When you go to those big islands down there, you got the Democrats sitting in the front door shaking hands with them. Everybody looking like, what the hell y'all doing here? Say, son, is just this. Don't take it personal.
Gentlemen, it's not about the party.
It's not about the party.
It's not about the party. You can put a name on anything. You can lay a label on anything.
That's right.
You know, the Democrats are supposed to stand for this, and Republicans are supposed to stand for this. When they close the door, and like Doc says, who's got the most money on the table?
That is.
It goes even further than that, because we just had, you know, we have those quote-unquote nonpartisan our city council is nonpartisan, quote unquote. But we had this redneck running. We had this redneck running for mayor who won by like 157 votes. Coming into the election, the Democrats are talking all this nonsense about nonpartisan, but Exhibit A, the sitting mayor, the then mayor, who is now, I think, out of office, one of my former teammates, but, you know, anyway, he takes a position.
Anyway, Doc, say that in there.
he comes out and supports the white dude. But it's not about race, and it's not about party, because it's a nonpartisan election. And the Democrats, who, and mind you, the Democrat chair right now is a black female. No reflection on you, Celeste. But in my humble opinion, that's one of the least effective heifers they've ever had in the position.
That's because she's a heifer. She's not a woman.
Oh, hey, Doc, you can be happy or right. Watch it.
Because I'm not a heifer, you know?
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I can get out the way.
Yeah, Gary, you got the referee. Go ahead, Gary.
Gary, do something quick, Gary.
I have an issue with Kanye West. I put an album out with a Confederate flag, right?
Oh, Lord.
That's right. Go ahead.
Wait a minute. The Confederate flag is a flag of rebellion.
The
Confederate flag is a flag
of treason. Treason.
Yep, thank you. Treason is
better. The flag is a flag of destruction. And that flag should be retired 100 years ago. But yet, the American South still flies this flag. And for Kanye West to do what he did,
Disgrace. Y'all remember that Bugs Bunny cartoon when Yosemite Sam was a Southern general, and he said his duty was to protect the Macy-Dixie line, so no dang Yankee could come down here. we've got variation on that to a degree, because we know that Confederate flag is flying everywhere, you know. But when we say these things, people don't understand what's really behind what that flag is, and Fred hit it right on the head. It's a flag of treason. The war is over, motherfuckers.
Absolutely.
Y'all lost. you lost.
Yep,
if you had been smart, you would have said, well, you know, we got all these black folks down here. If we treat them like human beings, we might be able to keep our way of life and have these motherfuckers pick cotton, polyester, linen, and everything else for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But they were like, nah, they ain't human. You know, nah, they animals. You know, we, no, listen. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
I've seen that flag fly in the most redneck form, and I've seen it fly in a boardroom right there in Philadelphia where the CEO of Wachovia Bank, now he didn't have the flag flying in front of me, but it was the same spirit where he said, yeah, we recognize that we made money off of slavery, but as far as reparations, we ain't giving y'all a motherfucking dime. So, you know, have
but
a Coke and a smile and shut the
it.
Fuck up. And that reality, that reality comes from the fact that, from what Gary said, the flag and everything that it represents, how they'll spin it and make it to be about Southern pride or whatever the kind of nonsense they want to come up with in their explanation, still doesn't change the fact that it was a done deal with regard to treasonous acts, and it should be treated in a treasonous manner. People should have been in jail behind some of the shit that went on from the time the president put his hand on the Bible. And it hasn't happened. And unfortunately, many of those people are probably part of the president's administration.
All these leaks.
President Kennedy went to Dallas. You look at the motorcade. You look at the film. And what'd you see? You saw Confederate flags.
Mm-hmm.
Sure did.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And people do not mention that. They, my deal is the South lost the war. Do you see a Nazi flag in Germany?
Park
no. Out. Do you see the rising sun in Japan?
Nope.
No.
But you see, like my whole thing, if you look at President Obama's staff, and he's the one that said the finance system is too big to fail. Too big to fail now. And you look at that same clown that left his staff, went to Chicago, and just first thing he did, went after the teachers union.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I look at Mayor Netta. I keep saying the same thing. Mayor Netta, first thing he did when he got to Philadelphia, what did he do? He went and took the money out of the inner city. Not only for the pool, the park, recreation, but he made sure he was going to damage it. So what could they do? Not only rich out of the city, go up there and start building jails so I can put them people in there to start making millions of dollars. And the sad thing about it, I say it again, is you got Democrats, the James Carvers of the world, and even some black Negroes, or the Gresham Black Caucus, are so upset because this black man is president. And I'll say, if he had some black women in there and they were running that website, you wouldn't have this craziness going on with the health care.
You should have
called me.
Yeah, hey, baby, tell me, sir, you would have hooked it up. But I'm just
saying, look, I can't program, but I got common sense. And I know if I got a project coming down the road, I know
what
needs to be done.
There you go.
You know?
Thank you. So my thing is, I'm looking at people President Obama surround himself with, and some mistakes. I'm sorry, man.
Well, see, that's the problem right there, Reggie.
Reggie, you
pinpointed the problem right there. It's never been about the president and his family. The people around him do not have his back. Or they're incompetent, or they've been co-opted. I can't believe that somebody who's that smart, who basically was able to outsmart the Koch brothers and all the big money to keep his spot, is so incompetent that he would have incompetent people around him. So what I think I think it goes to the heart of what Fred was talking about. Republicans play to win, always. They don't care how whack their message is. They don't care how far out their people are. They can be as batshit as Michelle Bachmann's ass,
or they can be
as stupid as the motherfuckers that talk about forcible rape and all this other shit. They'll back them. They will still back them, or they'll gently say, well, you know, it might have been a mistake or a misspoke or whatever it was. They will alibi for these motherfuckers, but maybe behind closed doors they'll say, you stupid son of a bitch, what the fuck are you doing? But the Republicans are always going to have their game plan tight. Democrats, you know, they'll bitch up. I mean, we saw it, right? We saw it recently. You know, Harry Reid, they made all this fuss about Harry Reid all of a sudden having a backbone because he finally killed filibuster.
No.
You should have did that shit 3 fucking years ago.
The ultimate was Bill Clinton, who went and stabbed Obama right in the back.
In the back, yes
he did.
He stabbed him in his back.
Jesse Jackson. Well, what was the young lady, the rapper name, that when Bill Clinton went with Jesse and embarrassed
Sister Soldier.
That ain't the ultimate slap in the face.
But that goes to the snake argument. You know, you knew he was a snake when you met him or when you got on his back, so don't be surprised when he bites your ass. Come on now. We've seen everything that was set up.
Did the same thing. Yeah, here, Terry McCullough ran for governor. What did he do? He drove President Obama and Michelle in. This is the same man, uneven prep, called Obama a nigga. But yet, he's going to sit up there and say, I need you to come and help me. I'm like, are you serious?
Are y'all for real? Listen, don't even get me started on that. Rick Santorum already need. Rick Santorum is doing a major ass whipping for calling the president a nigga in the first place. But I digress. I want to touch back on something you were talking about, though, because what's been missed in here, again, another item that slipped under the radar. And after we talk about this one, I want to get to everybody's specific topics before we close out. We know that when the big banks...
Where'd time go?
I know. When the big banks were supposedly too big to fail, supposedly things were in place to stop that shit. Well, I don't know if you guys know, but now there's been a clause put in that agreement that has rewritten pretty much all of that and gives the banks the right to gamble with your money, my money, and everybody's money. And here's the kicker.
More money.
But here's the kicker. The motherfuckers that wrote this all were connected with Citibank.
Citibank's been running this show for a while.
Citibank wrote the document. I mean, think about this. That's like asking a fox. That's like asking 6 foxes and 1 chicken, what are we going to have for dinner? And the chicken scratching his head. Are you fucking kidding me?
And they let Citibank do it because Chase kept getting caught. Okay?
Exactly.
So we can't have Chase doing this. So we let Citibank write it.
Too big to fail.
Now, this move was on the heels of Iceland. Now, little old Iceland, you know, when their banksters did what they didn't bullshit like America did. And they can talk about the size being the difference and all that. No, Iceland threw those motherfuckers in jail. Everybody whose homes were foreclosed, they got their homes back. And they got compensation because of the irrational manner in which their banksters went after their life savings. We didn't see that here. As a matter of fact, I forget which bank it was. It was either Chase or one of the other banks was going to have it might have been Wells Fargo. They were going to have an online session to discuss what they were going to do, and they canceled it because of what they called ridiculous questions. Because people were going on there with questions like #, what the fuck did y'all do with my house? You know, and other things like that. And I mean, real people, you know, it was like they wasn't ready for it. They tried to get cute, and they were like, oh, we'll have to rethink this. And they canceled that shit because they realized people were going to hold them, regular people were going to hold them accountable. But we see that the media is not holding them accountable. And I've had this argument for a while. I respect Rachel Maddow for what she's done. But Rachel Maddow is just as guilty as any of these other motherfuckers. And I don't doubt that, to some degree, some on the left and some on the right are in cahoots. And all they're doing is collectively stirring the pot. And while we're all scuffling and on the grind here, you know, these motherfuckers are sitting up in the yacht club with brandy and cigars, not giving a rat's ass about what any of us think.
Well, Mike, I got the answer for them. I fixed them. I don't have no money in the bank. So they can't play with my money because I don't have any, okay?
I understand.
So, whatever.
But is there some meat in that sandwich? Anybody?
Well, one of the things you got to look at here, Mike, is what are the true constituencies?
Yeah.
You know, as Dr. Williams used to say to us, you must understand who is in bed with whom. And when you start doing that, you start understanding how some of this legislation get written, how things get slipped past, quote unquote, get slipped past you.
True that.
How things get slipped past all the supposedly smart people.
Mm-hmm.
And it ain't about party. It's about constituencies.
Yeah.
Now, again, one of the gentlemen who just got, quote, reelected to our city council,
mm-hmm.
says he's not going to, he doesn't think it's right for the black city councilman who constitute half of the city council. We blew the chance to actually have a majority in the city council by a lot of mm-hmm. people actually voted for this redneck because, quote, he went to the all black high school and bragged about it and some other things. And he gets, you can look at the numbers and tell he got a lot of votes that the young lady who ran did not get. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, the kind of thing that you're looking at here is you gotta look at, this guy doesn't understand that the whites have their meeting because they go to the country club. You ain't allowed to have no membership.
Mm-hmm.
So you ain't going to be there.
Yep.
And he's, you know, I can't say he's not smart. I think he's, I label him as underinformed because
mm-hmm. That's a good way to put it.
He's out there talking about how he can, in good faith, go to a meeting and leave the whites out.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't understand they go to meetings every day, time they go to the country club and leave his black behind
mm-hmm.
out.
For real.
He's not a member, and even as a city councilman, he ain't allowed
yep.
in there except he's invited, and they ain't invite him in.
Mm-hmm.
But see, again, these are the kinds of things that we are suffering from as a people, because we got people in office who are just that naive. And when you look at you go back to, how did this happen?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how it happened is waving a flag in front of your face. That's as big as the Confederate flag you see. This here,
thank
how
you.
It happened, and this is how it's going to happen again, because, hey, black as you is, you ain't never going to be a member of the club.
You got that right.
And so, and just because we have our meeting at the club and don't invite you, go back and check the rules. You are not being discriminated against. Why? I mean,
it's a private club.
It's a private club, and we wrote the rules.
You
know,
right.
it's just like it was back in before 64.
No, it is. That's the whole point. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, passing the Civil Rights Bill. People thought, well, my mom and dad were Democrats. And I said, no, they were not.
They
were not
Republican.
Lady told me when I went to register, you people
mm-hmm.
are always Democrats. And no, obviously you don't know your history. Because
mm-hmm.
in North Carolina, the Democrat Party, matter of fact, from D.C. South, the Democrat
mm-hmm.
Party was treated as a private club. No
yeah,
Negroes need apply because you ain't getting
that's
up.
That's right. That's right.
No Negroes allowed.
Yep. No Negroes allowed in. So keep your black behind over there, so we can make all the decisions for you. We can,
that's
you know,
right.
We have.
But you're such children.
Yeah.
You all are such children. Don't you get it?
That's right.
These are the kinds of things that we have faced, and actually, trying to put a positive spin on this,
mm-hmm.
I think we have overcome a lot of this nonsense in spite of all.
Yeah,
the
we have.
In front of us. And I think, you know, it's something to be proud of on one hand, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the sake of people like Travis who are coming up behind us,
mm-hmm.
we need to help them by getting this fixed.
Exactly.
Best we can.
Exactly.
Because why should they have to go back and fight the same battles we fought?
There,
you know,
is.
Well,
there has to be some residual effect behind this.
Right, right.
And
Travis,
before that...
That's
for
a
that
great
to
point
be,
that you made. I'm
but,
sorry,
you know,
Chris.
That,
please, go ahead.
Yeah. And for that to happen, you know, we got to tell our story. We got to get
mm-hmm.
into all the things that we need to be into. And, you know, I have not had the problem. I mean, like I said, I had a B average in diplomacy.
Mm-hmm.
And the C came in the part where my professor told me, boy, you gonna have everybody in the world fighting the way you think. I could argue with
it. I got. Hold on, guys.
I
I've got.
Really could not argue with it.
I've got Rhonda coming in. Rhonda, I see you typing, so you can jump in. Travis, I know you bopped out. Bop back in when you get a chance here because, she's getting the audio fixed there. But Fred is right. One of my biggest fears, because Travis is in his early 20s, I don't want Travis to be the character in the Chris Rock skit. Now, y'all know the part where Chris Rock talks about the black man that is polite and whatnot, but then behind the scenes, everybody gone?
Crack ass.
You know, that's what I'm talking about. And Fred is right. If Travis has to, through his life experience, get to that point where he's thinking like that, we've failed him. And that's part of what our task is as elders, old schoolers, what you want to call it, old heads. That's part of our responsibility. That's something we have to take upon ourselves and realize we have to do this, whether it's Celeste doing her thing at her school, whether it's what we do here with our show, whether what Gary does with his show individually, collectively. We have an unspoken mandate to do this because those before us did the same damn thing. And they were thinking the same thing Fred was. They didn't want young Fred or young Celeste. And y'all don't realize, Celeste, she fine now, but Celeste was really fine when she was young. They didn't want Celeste or us when we were young. They didn't want us when we were young having to be in the position where we're saying cracker ass cracker, just like Chris Rock said in that little skit. We don't want Travis going there. They didn't want us to go there. There's a huge gap in between. There's a lot of work that we have to do, and the system is sinister in that it does exactly that. It eats us up, sucks the life out of many of us. You know,
and complacency, whether you know.
Whether you respect him or not. Dr. Cornel West talks about this all the time. Yeah, it wears you out. We out here fighting this battle all the damn time. It's like Sisyphus trying to roll that damn rock up the fucking hill, you know, and knowing it's going to keep coming back on his ass. We have to fight through that, and Fred is right. We have survived and succeeded where many thought we would fail. And it's not just because there's so many of us, it's because of the character of so many of us, or at least used to be, you know. We know that for every one of us now, there may be a Jay-Z that might think differently. There may be a Kanye West who thinks differently. And we know for a fact that there's a Jay-Z or Kanye running around or somebody who's in that same ilk who is far better talent-wise than they'll ever be. But we'll never get to hear them in this atmosphere.
And Kanye still got a concussion.
Or they go overseas and get discovered and come back like many have done in the past.
Exactly. Now, in that spirit, I want to have everybody take some time and touch on their own subject. And, Gary, you've been a little quiet for a while, so I want you to go first. A subject that really is important to you that you want to talk about now that hasn't been talked about or has been talked about. And what is, first of all, before we do that, what's your favorite Thanksgiving meal of all time? If you put in the fork to the plate, what's the first thing you're going for?
Succotash.
All right, Gary, what's your topic to throw into the pot, into the Thanksgiving pot?
My thing is the medical bill of America and the disabled community.
Mm-hmm.
We had to pay attention to the disabled community. In 1953, cerebral palsy, which is what I have right now, cerebral palsy was unknown.
Mm-hmm.
They expected me to live until I was 20 years old. I am now 60. We had to pay attention to the medical community, especially African Americans.
Yep.
Because we don't connect, network.
Mm-hmm.
So black and disabled children get left out.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, you get left out because I had two educated parents who told me you were going to do this. You were going to get educated. You were going to college. Most young disabled African Americans do not get this motivation. We as elders have to assist disabled youngsters and tell them, you can do this.
You know, we don't have that kind of support with many parents who have healthy kids to tell them that they can do this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's really poignant that you said that. And Gary is a proud graduate of Southern Illinois University. He's a Salukis. In the mix here, we also have a young brother who does good work in Philadelphia, Jimmy Stevens. Jimmy, how you doing, brother?
Hey, what's happening, Mike? What's happening, fam? Good to hear you all.
Good evening.
Good to hear from you. Throw something in the pot. You've been listening for a while. Give me something that maybe we haven't touched on or something that's really germane to what you're doing, you know, with dealing with homeless youth in Philly.
You guys actually touched on, glossed over it a few times in passing, and I think it kind of underscores the undercurrent about society today, and that's the artists that you spoke about. You spoke about Kanye West in passing and Jay-Z in passing, and I think there's such a strong undercurrent of arts and media that is beyond detrimental to today's youth and society.
I agree.
And to get a guy like Kanye West, who's one of the most visible, I won't say talented at this point, but one of the most popular people in music, at least in the Western Hemisphere, to be running around sporting a Confederate flag. You know, there's a message there that is feeding into the lack of education that young people have. And you look at that, and then you look at Jay-Z ignoring Barney's.
Yes.
And Harry
Belafonte
Boy.
Yes.
And then on the opposite side, at the AMAs the other day, it was Macklemore and Ryan Lewis that gave a tribute to Trayvon Martin.
I didn't see it, so I couldn't speak on it and whatnot, but, yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
There's a big disconnect there. Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, when they accepted their award, they called out Florida and, you know, gave it up to Trayvon and the other youth that are being racially profiled. So all the artists at the AMAs, you had the white guys come out and give tribute, while Kanye is not there sporting a Confederate flag somewhere.
That's fucking trifling. Yeah, that's as trifling as you can get. But, you know, Jimmy just brought up something that makes sense in other aspects. And we know that because schools are compromised, teachers are hard-pressed to do their jobs as best as they can do them, the arts has been killed in school. We all grew up with band. We all grew up with, you know, being able to express ourselves artistically, where maybe that might have been the one thing that kept us intrigued, because once that was mastered, it gave you the inspiration to want to master other school subjects. And now that music is being taken out. Sports, say what you want to say about them, those things are being taken out or co-opted as well. And when you throw in this image of this fool walking around with a fucking Confederate flag on his arm, on a jacket, it's not even a mixed message. It's a reminder that resistance is futile. It's telling you right now,
you
can't even get off the ground because we got this fool reminding you that we got him controlled. We got Jay-Z controlled.
And what's bad is the Alan West and Ron Christie's and Ted Cruz's and these other minorities. As detrimental as they are, they don't have one tenth of the visibility in people's homes Kanye West has.
The
power of the arts is you can't articulate. Like in the 60s, and can you imagine if James Brown was alive today, seeing Kanye walking around with a Confederate flag?
Exactly.
Yeah,
and you know, I'm glad you brought up James Brown, because people forget James Brown stopped a riot in Boston by his mere presence.
Sure did.
You know, but after Martin Luther King was murdered, you know, he literally stopped a riot. There's actually footage of the concert that you can see on YouTube, the show that he did in Boston, where he actually told the people in the audience what happened, and then chastised for saying, y'all better act like y'all got some damn sense, as Fred likes to say. And they did act like they had some sense. And the Boston mayor was like, oh, God, thank you for not letting the Negroes run wild. You know, I mean, he didn't think that there was that much composure there because of how he already looked at the black people that were living in Boston. And I'm waiting for Travis to come back in on this, but, you know, you're 1,000% right, Jimmy. There is something really, really missing here, and mainstream media, because they have been co-opted, isn't going to embrace this line of reasoning. They're going to keep pushing this fool out there.
And it goes across in theater, in visual arts, in TV, in movies. Mm-hmm. The biggest filmmakers today are who? Tyler Perry and Quentin Tarantino.
Yep.
And what do they peddle? You know, mm-hmm. you go to TV, the biggest TV shows are reality shows, Housewives of this, Preachers of that.
Oh,
in the
Lord,
80s,
yes.
They may have been, in the 80s, what were the biggest shows? Family Ties, The Cosby
yep.
Show. They were shows that showed cohesiveness and positive values, no matter whether you watch one or the other.
That's
you know,
right.
And you still had Anita Baker. You had Peebo Bryson. You had Public Enemy. You had Whitney
yep.
Houston. You had N.W.A. You had Eric Clapton was still on the radio. You had
yep.
things that were positively enforced to influence through what people saw through every art medium.
Mm-hmm. This
and
is true.
And reflection in society, which is today, which society is, has been moved to the opposite side because you have the Kanyes and the Lil Waynes and the Lil Kims and the Nicki Minajs and
mm-hmm.
the Tyler Perrys. And that's what kids see. They don't, if they don't have parents, that's what they're exposed to.
That's right. You can't make it.
And there's no
that.
Responsibility of the artist to come out. And it's a shame that the people, the artists in whichever discipline, don't have the money and power to infiltrate the way these other clowns do.
No joke. It's really a sad commentary on what's going on here now. And I got Travis Singleton back in the mix and whatnot. Travis, I don't know if you were listening or not, but we didn't want you to be the punchline of a Chris Rock joke. We don't want you to be that crack. We don't want you to be that young man 30 years from now talking about crack ass cracking shit, because we didn't do our job of preparing you and others like you to understand the real deal going on here and whatnot. So I know you've been listening. Throw something in the pot regarding a subject that you want to talk about, or maybe something that hasn't been talked about that's been on your mind.
I was at the game, that was where I was at. I didn't mean to get out earlier.
I didn't realize that you were at the game. I'm sorry,
yeah.
Forgive me, that's right. Oh,
yeah, oh no.
Boston got beat again, didn't he?
Yeah, we did. I'm taking the walk of shame to my car right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
I'm a Wizard fan, you know that.
Hey, John Wall's doing good for my fantasy team, so it's time to keep
it
up.
I heard that.
Yeah, we beat the Lakers yesterday.
Yep, I think y'all won tonight too, if I'm not mistaken. What was the question, Mike?
The fact that Kanye's walking around with a Confederate flag on his jacket is incorrect to begin with. But, you know, as you're seeing this, because you are younger than us and you and Jimmy are younger than us, you know, what kind of work do you feel that you're going to have to put in, because you realize there's years of stuff that needs to be done because there's years of stuff that wasn't done?
Yeah, well, my thing is, first of all, on Kanye, I feel like he's just misunderstood, you know, and I feel like, honestly, he's our prince, he's our modern day everything, you know, when it comes to society, for us young people, because as soon as Kanye does something, we want to mimic it or do the same, and you know, him wearing the Confederate flag, it wasn't to say exactly what it meant. But he was saying it as in, you know, we're the new slaves. Because if you look at it, all these NBA players, NFL players, baseball players, we're all signing contracts. At the end of the day, the white man still owns us, because they're telling us where we can't go. They're telling us we can't play during practice. You know, we can't play, like, for instance, Kevin Durant was playing at the YMCA last week.
Right,
and
I remember
Thunder,
that.
And the Thunder was like, hey, cut this shit out. You know, so there's certain things that, you know, that he's trying to represent. You know, he's saying that you can be your own person. You know, you could be just because Barack Obama's there doesn't mean there can't be another one. You know, and that's his thing. He doesn't like anybody to actually tell him what he can't do. when he was raised, his mom said he could do whatever he wanted to do. You know, so that's how he looks at it. I don't truly bash him for anything he does because I love his music.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I see where he's coming from.
Well,
you know,
having said that, I would think that opinion is in the minority. I don't see anything wrong with it. I just think that a lot of people are seeing it totally differently, because there is a generation in front of you that looks at that flag and sees something different, and there's a generation in front of them that sees that flag as something different. So the symbolism coupled with the visibility that Jimmy spoke of is where we see there could be a mass problem with it. Somebody with a sharp mind like you, that's one thing. It's not the Travis Singletons of the world we're worrying about as much as those that Jimmy just talked about that are impressionable and see this and have a different mindset.
I was going to say, real quick, if I could add in. The big problem
Travis.
Is,
you first, Travis.
I was just going to say, the big problem is, you know, a lot of these young kids growing up now, they don't know what the Confederate flag is. They've never seen it. They only see it in books. But they don't have their faith in their mind on the book. You know, so they're not going to know the true meaning. They just see Kanye West wearing it, and they think it's cool. You know, so at the end of the day,
it's a rude awakening.
It's a rude awakening. You're right about that. But at the end of the day,
Jimmy.
It goes right back. Mm-hmm. It goes right back to the teachers, and it goes back to these kids actually trying to get an education and learning.
Sure.
Jimmy,
you were going to say?
I want to be able to say something. And I think what Travis just said, therein lies the major problem, because it's this younger generation that doesn't know, that doesn't have any comprehension of really what slavery was. They don't have any comprehension. Everybody knows who LeBron James is. If you go into any middle school or high school, they know LeBron James, they know Tupac, they know Biggie. How many know Megar Evers?
There you go.
And to correlate it with what you said about Barack Obama, that's the problem. That is the problem because the young guys, especially young black males, oh, we got a black president, we won. No, they don't see the racism and the oppression he's going through with all the racism in the Congress that's inhibiting him from being probably the best president ever. They see they see the black family in the White House. They don't see the racism every day that has been unprecedented through 200 years of prior American history.
No doubt. And
the amount of work that has to be done for all people. So what Travis said is I agree with the way people perceive it, but that's the problem. That's the problem.
Hey, Mike, I guarantee you, Conway and his people got together, because if he came out with a flag with a swastika, young Jews would have shut that shit down. It's just beyond. Go back to what I said before, that certain generations teach the upcoming generation to know your history and know the struggle.
Right.
And I guarantee you, if he came with that spot sticker, it wouldn't have been hours and days. It would have been
let's keep it 100.
You got a damn dog on Family Matters that get killed, and everybody, 500,000 people, a damn cartoon go berserk. And
let's keep it real, though.
Shut it down.
Let's keep it 100. You just mentioned that Jews always make sure everybody understands that there's a fabric to the history. You know, there are some Jews that are record executives that were probably behind the whole process of Kanye doing exactly what the fuck he's doing now.
Yeah.
You know,
thank you.
Let's be real on that.
Go ahead, Gary. Remember a couple of years ago, Michael Jackson made a record?
Yep.
He had the word kite in a record.
I remember that.
They don't care about us.
Nope.
Right.
And they jumped
right
on his black ass in a heartbeat. It didn't matter whether he had vitiligo or whatever it was. They knew he was black, and they said, oh, hell no, we ain't having that. That's right.
Yep. And shut the video down, too.
That's exactly right. They made sure that wasn't happening. And you know what? I ain't mad at them, because they make sure that ain't no disrespect going on here. And that's the problem. There's major disrespect going on, and very few folks are speaking up and doing something about it. That's the problem. That's what's leading up to all of this. That's what's leading this. That's what's spearheaded this atmosphere of, we can say anything the fuck we want. because it wasn't supposed to be a black man in the White House in the first damn place. That's not what my daddy told me when he sat me on my knee and told me this was my country and I could do any fucking thing I want. And you better believe, when that daddy sat him on the knee, that was George Zimmerman Sr. sitting George Zimmerman Jr. on his knee, literally telling him that he could get away with murder in this country because he was connected. And did we not see that manifest in front of our eyes?
No.
You know, there's a whole bunch of George Zimmermans running around. They just don't have the clout that this one has. But you better believe he bespoke a lot of people's fears, and he also bespoke a lot of people's sick desires when he got away with what he got away with, which was literally murder.
And they got married to O.J. Simpson. Give me a break.
So whether I'm going to slide into this knockout game, whether it's an urban legend or whether it's real, because somebody just wrote a piece in the Philadelphia Daily News about how it's an urban legend now. You know, whether it's an urban legend or not, the bottom line in all of this is the whole idea of black youths or any youths putting themselves in jeopardy by pretending they're going to knock somebody out or going to knock somebody out as it's supposed to be a game or an attempt to jack somebody to rob them, knowing that somebody out in you-know-where USA is going to do a Death Wish 6 on a motherfucker if they decide that they're going to go ahead and walk around and take matters in their own hands if they think somebody might want to play knockout. And they'll say that they're standing their ground, just like that poor sister who got shot in Michigan. This is something that's bound to happen with deleterious effects long range if people are stupid enough to follow this posture. Let's be real about another thing here. Again, when I talk about the mainstream media is not telling everybody the real deal, it's curious to find out where they are telling you the real deal. I've been following over the last months the Daily Mail out of the UK. When they do their online articles, they're germane to things that are here. Now, that's not a surprise because the BBC has been doing that for a long time. But, Fred, when you and Reggie were getting ready to sit down to that game last week that was canceled, that situation was on the front page of the Daily Mail. Now, I know that Europe knows that we play football, American football. We know they even know about Grambling University. But what in the wide world of sports would make them even think about putting on that incident at that game, at that HBCU, on their front page? That's the question. Why? Why would they do that? And it's
not likely they got somebody's of the white mentality on their editorial staff that said this is news.
Mm-hmm.
And it's news to the point that we cannot miss our opportunity to pass the burden on these Negroes, because these Negroes found a way to give us ammunition to show that they don't know how to act in public.
There you go.
You know, they can't just go to a game and, you know, go play a game out and all this sort of stuff. They got to go, you know, to like the old mafia kind of guys would do. You know, you hit out on the quarterback from the opposing team and all that kind of stuff. You know, and this is one of those cases where we collectively gave them a license to do this.
True.
Because we know what they do anytime they get a chance. So, you know, you can't be surprised when they do what they normally do when they get a chance to do it.
Most definitely.
And with that in mind, you know, somebody mentioned about not hearing about Medgar Evers and all those other folks. That's our fault.
Mm-hmm.
When I stand up and tell people that Martin Luther King was important, but I think Medgar Evers was more important. You know, after they get through gas and go, I know he didn't say something like that. Who made the effort? You know, think about it. Martin Luther King had an entourage.
There you go.
He had people around him. He had people who drove him places, who picked him up at the airport, who guarded him as best they could. Medgar Evers got shot on his front.
No backup.
He ran from Klansmen every night just to get home.
That's right. No backup.
And then the NAACP, with all their wisdom and boldness, which is why I'm no longer a member, They didn't do but so much to help him.
Thank you.
There were those among them who actually criticized him for some of the stuff he did. And, you know, and you had him, and there were others out there who were just like him. You know, a gentleman in Florida was blown up in his own bed on Christmas night after coming back from celebrating his wedding anniversary with his wife.
Yep.
She died New Year's Day. But, you know, there are those out there who paid a price that we have not taught our children and our young people. We haven't taught them about these folks. You know, we're content to say, well, let them slash the teachers slash the schools teach them. Well,
I agree.
If they don't know, and if you look at the books that are out there, so many of those books are so, you know, I mean, so much of the stuff that they need to know is missing.
Yep.
MIA is missing in action. And because of that, it's nothing for you to look at this situation and go, oh, Kanye should know. Kanye is how old? 30-ish?
Late 20s, early 30s tops.
Same difference.
No, Kanye's like early 40s. Kanye's early 40s. He's
that
like my
that old?
Yeah,
damn.
He's in his 40s, man. He ain't young.
I didn't think he was that old. I thought he was like...
I really didn't think he was that old, but I don't even think about him. That's a whole other story, but yeah.
Remember, he came out with Biggie.
He came out with Funky
in the mid-90s, man.
That's right. He's been around a while. Yeah.
He's 40.
So he's a grown-ass man, put it mildly. Yeah.
But my point is, you know, I don't expect Kanye or even Jay-Z and so forth to know what... Harry Belafonte and some of the others.
Clearly by their actions, they don't know, Fred, and they don't care.
And they don't know and don't care to know. But, you know, they need. But you know, if we haven't taught them about Mega Evers or Harry Moore, the gentleman I was speaking of earlier, and just so many of the others out there, if we don't teach them, how are they going to know?
Thank you.
I give you Exhibit A, the North Carolina history books. Don't even talk about the 244 all-black high schools they had back in the day, of which only six exist today. They act like, it's, you know, in Virginia, that would be Maggie Walker, and I forget the other school, but schools like Maggie Walker.
Right.
Armstrong, which were the core of our education system, because we couldn't go to the school on the hill. We couldn't go to the big white schools because, hey, you Negroes, y'all don't need to be over here with us. Matter of fact,
that's right.
You can't learn no way. And by the same token, you know, if Kanye was so interested in quality and all this kind of stuff, he would look at a woman along the ilk of, say, a Viola Liuzzo, who was a white mother who gave
that's
her
right.
life for the civil rights movement. She
yep.
could have been back home baking cookies instead of getting her head blown off by Klansmen.
Yep.
You know, and they don't know, they don't want to know, but, you know, in the church, in the Bible, it talks about you get them saved and you make disciples. It doesn't say ask them to be disciples. It says make disciples. In the process, sometimes takes grabbing them jokers in the collar. Reggie's a former is a Marine. So there's no such thing as a former Marine. Reggie's a Marine. You know, you say attend her to Reggie today. He may not jump to attention, but his mind is going to flex to that point. Stand up, snap to attention. Okay, that's because certain things were drilled into him in such a way that not only did he react then, he still reacts now. So it's up to us to grab some of these young brothers and sisters and teach them the kind of things that they need to know. Because if we don't teach them, they're not going to just know. It's not going to drop. They ain't getting it from the movies. They ain't getting it from anywhere else because, hey, it ain't being taught to them. The people who write... Look at some of the crap they got on. Even as look at the characters in most television shows that are black.
Yep.
You know, It's really pathetic. We are never the smart guy.
No, we are.
Smart girl.
We are
and
at the point
most of stuff that makes us smart.
We're at the
I
point
just looked
where
it up. Jay-Z's 44 and Kanye's 36. I just checked.
I knew he was
mid-30s. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Travis, you can keep listening to him. He's not 40 yet.
But we're still talking about two grown. But we're still talking about two grown ass men who know better or should know better. You know.
Yeah.
So that spirals into a whole other things like home training and other shit that we're talking about.
Shit.
And I just think this is more the diss of not respecting what Stevie did, what Chaka did, what Eddie LaVert, what Harry Belafonte did, and what other musicians that may not have as much notoriety as these guys have because, as Jimmy said, their high visibility affords them this, you know, it smacks of the most heinous of situations where, you know, it don't matter whether the hand of the overseer's whip is white or black. When that whip is cracking your ass, you're saying, ow. And that's what's going on here. And that's what bothers me most about the imagery that goes with this. I see that the Travis Singleton can see through it, but there's thousands of others that have problems seeing it because they don't have anything to work with. Now, as I say go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, see, in their eyes and in America's eyes now, there's no white, black, you know, Asian, none of that. The only color that matters is green. So they're gonna go with whatever image, you know, whatever image, whatever gimmick, and whatever and whatever marketing scheme is gonna get them the money, whether it's good or not.
No, I don't disagree with you at all, Travis. I think you're right.
I'm just saying, you know, that's what's gonna happen, you know. And
no, but you're right.
I was just gonna say the thing is they have that training, you know. They in certain interviews they do speak about, you know, Jay-Z said he read the whole Bible one day, like. You know, they do. There's certain things that they do, but they know that, you know, the whole world image, you know, is not of the godliness. You know, and that's the thing.
Oh
right?
No, I agree. I'm not referring to them. I'm talking about those who are paying attention to them, who are watching them. Those are the ones who got the problem. It is redundant, but it's also something that really does need repeating. You know, they know what's going on. If they don't know, they've been exposed to enough where they can speak on stuff, and they choose not to because they've either been compromised or they've decided that this is how they're going to roll because they got theirs and they're going to give a shit about anybody else. Like I said, there would be another Jay-Z tomorrow if Jay-Z were to die. Somebody would be propped up immediately because somebody would be picking up that spot, that role, whatever you want to call it, however you want to call it. And it's not going to be anything that's going to reflect anything positive on us. You know, hip-hop's mainstream now, but when we all grew up, hip-hop meant something. It actually meant expression, economic empowerment, because the record companies hadn't caught on to it. The record companies didn't want anything to do with the original hip-hoppers, you know. But when they saw they were starting to make all this money on the ground, they said, we got to get some of this shit. And that's when the game changed. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of other stuff that we could delve into, but 2 hours have literally flown by, and I'm sitting here smelling these greens, and I'm a happy pappy boy. It's like, oh, Lord. Oh, hell yeah. Y'all keep talking. It's like, yes, indeed. But we're at that point, y'all, where it's that final thoughts, and I want to say right off the bat that I am thankful for you all giving me a forum where I can help people critically think, and that includes myself. You know, but I'm thankful for everybody, all the chefs who chime in, for people like Jimmy and Craig Stroman and Ms. Crabtree, who is where she is. She ain't teaching right now, but she's come on and done great work for us. Rhonda, Bobby, everybody else who's not here right now. Eric, who's out in Cali doing this thing. I am blessed by having such intelligent people come on and just be able to speak right off the cuff. This was not prepared. Nothing. This was all that we just go into it and we do our thing from time to time to keep our own minds sharp. And I am so blessed knowing that these people believe in me and are keeping up. And a shout out to Sonic Cheryl, who's making sweet potato pies as we speak. Hey, yo, sweetheart, we hanging in there. you know. Sorry, couldn't come on. But Cheryl's like, fuck y'all, I'm hungry. So we got to let her do that because she got to take care of shit. We get the final thoughts, Jimmy, because you are doing such great work and trying to, you know, give some humanity to inhumane situations in Philly. Please speak first. You can talk about anything you want. The floor is yours. Your final thought, bro.
Final thought, just hope everybody has a good day with family tomorrow. You know, call it Thanksgiving, call it not Thanksgiving, but as long as everybody has a good time with family, appreciate the little things, and, you know, you can't take life too serious, but we've got to keep fighting a good fight, you know? Have to laugh while we can, eh?
Always. There you go. Well said, brother. You know, Travis, since you seem to be in motion and whatnot, we're going to let you go next. And we can't say enough about how proud we are of you for setting up the foundation Kicks for Grades. The notion of giving sneakers to kids because they put good grades in and whatnot might seem trivial to some and whatnot. But, you know, I always felt good when I got those new high-top white cons. You know, if your sneakers slip and slide, get the ones with the star on the side. Yes. I may be aging myself, but I knew how good that shit felt when I had new sneakers on. So I think what you're doing is great. So the floor is yours. Shameless plug and something for the pot.
All right. I just wanted to let you know that them cons are actually coming out next month. They're bringing them back. So if you need them, let me know. You let me know if you need them. And,
for real?
Yeah, definitely.
Size 13.
Hey, I'm size 12 and a half. I'm right in between y'all.
There you go.
You know, I just want to say thank you to Roland, you know, God rest his soul. Because, you know, honestly, like he put me in a platform where, like, I walk around my city and people, you know, that I never thought would come up to me and actually speak to me and respect me and just listen to what I have to say. They actually listen now, and Black Athlete gave me the opportunity, and I'm gonna thank Roland Rogers for this opportunity to the day I die, because it's brought not only has it brought the good out of me, it brought the good out of my family, and I wish my dad was alive to see me doing this, but I know he's watching. You know, he's watching down on me, and, you know, I'm just thankful because, like, my family and you guys, I'm thankful for you guys, too, because every week we're on here. In the beginning, I was slacking, you know, and I was like, man, I don't want to be on the radio, man. Look, I ain't trying to do all that. But but those are the things that, you know, as I mature in my craft and want to be the best at everything I do, those are the things that I try to take from you all. You know, I try to take a little bit of everything and from all the chefs and try to, you know, include it in my everyday life, you know, because even though we might not speak all the time, but at the end of the day, you all still impact my life, you know, and I'm a very, you know, low-key type of guy. So, like, when I get on to talk to you guys, when I talk to you guys on Facebook, you know, that's me, you know, that's me saying, hey, you know, whatever you need, I'm here. And like I said, I'm just thankful to be a young black African American, being successful and being in these places that we're not supposed to be. I'm an inner city kid. I'm not supposed to be in the TD Garden talking to all these players and mingling with these white folks. I ain't supposed to be doing none of this. You know, but this is what God had planned for me. So I'm gonna take the opportunity and I'm gonna run with it. And that's what I've been doing. For my shameless plug, I wanted to actually, you know, bring this one. I'm going to make it a little humorous. I'm going to throw this one over to Professor Thread. I'm going to say a prayer while he's eating his food that his Steelers don't get crushed. I just wanted to let you know that, you know, my heart goes out to you. Because you might actually be in a food coma by the time they start playing. So I just want to make sure you know that I'm going to be watching the game.
Professor, I got your back there.
I'm going to be watching the game for you, Professor. And y'all make sure y'all check out my new article I just put up on blackathlete.net. Celtics lost to the Grizzlies tonight. I put that up there. And also, I got the Kicks for Grades up there. If anybody wants to check it out, just put in the search bar Kicks and then the number 4 Grades. It's a great, you know, great organization I started to help these inner city kids so they get good grades and they get good sneakers. You know, to my thing is their job is school. And a lot of
That's
these
right.
people don't understand that this, you know, the generation that has come, you know, come about, their job is school. You know, that's their job. And the thing is, my job is to make sure that they get whatever sneakers they want. So if they
I
do
see.
Their job, I'm gonna do my job. And I know the next Barack Obama, the next Michelle Obama is somewhere out here, and I'm trying to bring that out. So I just want to say thank you to everybody, and I hope everybody has a good Thanksgiving. And Jimmy, I didn't hear too much about what Jimmy was doing because I was at the game, but I will link up with you and we'll talk and we'll talk it out.
No doubt, man, no doubt.
Right on. Sounds good, y'all. Cowboy Reggie, Cowboy. We don't talk about Cowboy enough because he's a fucking Cowboys fan, but I digress. But anyway, Cowboy
Thank
does
you.
Good work. He does good work down there at WCLM 1450, and we love and respect Cowboy, although he is a Cowboys
hey,
fan.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, brother. Now you can have the floor.
We hear you. We hear you, brother.
Well, first of all, I want to thank all the chefs that are here tonight. Two quick points, if I may. Kermit Blunt, product of Winston-Salem, also Armstrong High School, recently offered a young man from Armstrong a full ride to Delaware State.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just so happy about that. Keyvon Cooley. So he's a young man that's kind of come up through the sports talk system where he was a ninth grader. He was kind of in
right.
detention, giving mm-hmm. problems and everything. But guess what? Now that young man's getting ready to play in the All-State game, and he's getting ready to get that full ride scholarship. And on the flip side for that,
there you go.
Young man by the name of Mitch Malone, who was the voice
mm-hmm.
of 105.7. This film, he and I had a nice conversation Sunday. I get a call at 7 o'clock in telling me that he has died of a massive heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So I'm standing here kind of in shock. You had to kind of forgive me a little bit.
No,
he's a Trojan, and we worked together as far as covering the HBCU sports and everything. And, yeah, Doc, we were there at Virginia State press conference with the aftermath, and I just want to say I'm pulling for Winston, even though things don't go the way I want. I always go HBCU first, so pulling for Winston, and hopefully to bring it home. But I'm just saying again that we better tell our story because, as I said before, so many people have gone out of their way to paint a certain picture of his life. That's why I said before that if Kanye West had put a swastika on, his ass would have been shut down immediately, and that would have been from young folks.
Mm-hmm.
Again, well, we are so much being damn consumers, like locusts, where we consume everything, but we don't even look around and see that people had to come to us. And we're not going to be second-class citizens. We're going to be so far down that totem pole that people were like, there once were black people, like there once were Indians on reservations.
Yeah.
And we know about they put smallpox in the blankets and killed them off. But no, it's the facts getting away. I go back again to the Ghost of Mississippi. And that movie, I looked at it, and then I saw They Call Me Mr. Tibbs, Sidney Poitier. And even that picture of Sidney Poitier, his son was smoking a cigar and drinking liquor. We're talking back in the 60s. And then he smacked him when he disobeyed him. My question, if you saw a movie like that today, they probably have you up on charges.
For real.
It's really crazy. I mean,
no joke.
I mean, and I'm sure Doc can back me up. Those movies that they had back in the 60s that they wrote them now, I mean, Archie Bunker, All in the Family, oh, my God, they'd be shutting you down left and right. How dare you with this kind of conversation? But that's my closing. Happy holidays and take care.
Sports plug. Shame plug, bro. Throw that plug in there. Oh, he's gone. I'll give it to him. Sports talk every Saturday from 12 to 1. He must be on the road. It's www.wclmonline.com. Again, that's www.wclmonline.com. Professor, it has been an intriguing year thus far and whatnot, and you always offer humor, a good view of things to see from different angles. And I am blessed knowing you and having you come on and do some good work for us. Time for you to put in your last licks and your shameless plug, please.
Well, I'll do a slight roll call with Mr. Travis, and I just ask him what happened to the Patriots when they came to North Carolina a couple of weeks ago. And I remind him that one of our last conversations had to do with how the Bobcats were coming up to Boston.
Ouch!
You know, I'm just mentioning these. I mean, there's not going to be any teasing or any of those kind of things wrapped up in this. I was just mentioning them.
I just want to say one thing. Both of my teams will have better records than both your teams at the end of the year.
And we still have 6 rings.
Ooh.
But I know my history.
Put them up.
Uh-oh.
Put them up.
I believe we have 17 in Boston. Last I checked.
It's getting personal now.
And you also been out there 100 years too, but I was let that go.
Today,
no
credit low.
I'm gonna be nice and let you win this.
Uh-oh.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. I mean, you know, I've dealt with young people before. I deal with them on a regular basis, sometimes more regular than I like to, but that's okay. the real thing that I wanted to touch on tonight was wanted to give a progress report on where we are with the HBCU Heritage Center. You know, I've been telling people I had X number of pictures and media guides and all those kind of things. Well, I did a sample, and instead of the 1,500, I probably have over 2,200 media guides and books and stuff on HBCU, media guides and that kind of stuff from HBCUs.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm telling you this, because this is something that's been near and dear to my heart for a long time, but I finally decided to do something about it. And so for those people who would like to support what I'm doing, I'm gonna do a very special thing, because this came up in fashion in a time frame that I couldn't get it changed on my website. But what I'm going to do is, if you buy in conjunction with Black Friday, which you're not supposed to be going to Wally World. I had a run-in with them today.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to go to Wally World.
Do not do Walmart on Black Friday. Thank you.
Instead, I'm going to help you put some Black history on your Christmas tree. And what I'm going to do is, for everybody who make a purchase of Black College Sports Encyclopedia between now and midnight Sunday, and the Black Weekend ends, I'm ending it too. But, you know, you go through PayPal and notates what time you order, so I will know.
Mm-hmm.
You place an order for any of the books on our website between now and Sunday night midnight, we will refund your shipping charge, because we have to tell our own story. This is one of the ways of getting our story told. Someone mentioned about how young people don't know about Medgar Evers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even fewer people know about Harry Moore. He died they blew his house up, and he died along with his wife as a result of their house being dynamited. And there's so many others out there that are graduates of HBCUs, and we're putting together a place so we can commemorate what they did and where they did it and how they did what they did. And, you know, and we're going to cover not only alumni, we're going to cover coaches and athletes also. There's so much about HBCU players and so forth that's unknown, you know, because very few people would know that a young man that Travis should know quite a bit of, called Sam Jones. He didn't go to a white school because white schools did not allow Black folks to go there.
There you go.
He went to an HBCU. And, you know, Sam is still one of the best shooters in the history of the NBA, bar none. So go to www.blackheritagereview.com, place an order or orders for any of the books that we have on sale, and we will send you, along with your book, we will send you your shipping cost back to you.
There you go. Again, that's www.blackheritagereview.com. Put some black history under your tree or menorah or a table. Well, no matter what, it's all good. This is one time when being in the black is always a good thing. That's right. Celestial, we've been around here quite a while, my love, and every time you come in, you always bring some sunshine and some serious light of a good type into the mix. So
thank you very much. Thank you.
There you go. Throw something in the pot. Give me a shameless plug if you would.
Well, I have nothing to plug. My husband calls it me yakking, but that's okay. It's done out of love.
Tell Joe to leave you alone. That's right.
He's happy I got somewhere to go to talk. Because usually when he's like, go ahead, don't you have a call to make or something? Because I'm always coming up with some little tidbit or something I saw or something I read or something I heard, and I want to talk about it. And usually people's eyes glaze over, oh, here she come again, here she come again. But I'm thankful and grateful that I do have somewhere to go where I can learn, and there's some young folks coming up who are willing to come in and give their thoughts, because too many of people in our age range always talk to those young folks, young folks, that, because don't forget, we were that.
We was young folks too, that's right.
You know, try to rock a fro and trying to be different. And we need to remember that.
Definitely.
And respect. Sometimes young people have something to say.
Mm-hmm.
And don't assume they don't have anything to say. And we have to hold ourselves accountable because we are not teaching them.
True that.
They don't know about their past. And it's shameful. And the other thing I would like to bring up, when we speak about civil rights in our history, the women of civil rights are seldom mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
You can call people other than Rosa Parks. Stephanie Clark is one of them.
Fannie Lou
Hamer. There are many women who laid the foundation of, look it up, who helped create SNCC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, we forget.
HBCU,
we like to call on the brothers who laid the foundation for some of our major civil rights organizations. And it wasn't Dr. King.
That's right.
There were women behind the scenes who helped run the organization so the good brother could stand up there and speak on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always somebody behind the scenes laying the foundation, doing the research,
indeed,
doing the fundraising, organizing. Their names are not called. So don't forget, when you're going down that list of historical figures in our history, that you try to learn more. Don't rest on your laurels because you know some of the major ones. There are some others out there. And I was humbled. I had that little chip knocked off my shoulder just last year when I was in there in the book studying last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized how underread I was and how I hadn't researched enough because I had just scratched the surface. So when we're telling history to young folk, don't just go, you know, with the norm.
Yep.
Or don't discount them because they're young. A lot of times they got something to tell you. They told us something tonight about Kanye and Jay-Z.
Sure as shit did.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The assumption was they were young.
Yep.
No, they're old enough to know better.
Mm-hmm.
So on that, I appreciate all of you. You know, I have mad respect for all of you. But I got to finish cooking a little The men in my life are going to put me out in the cold. So have a wonderful day.
About.
Be safe. And say I love you to the people who are around you because there's no guarantees.
Yeah, you got that right.
Boy, do I know that one.
Yep, I say. Mm. You know, Mr. Biggs, you know, we can't ignore the fact that we have mad love and respect for Gary because of what he is. You know, a strong brother who never let anything get in his way of doing what he's doing. And that's part of why we love you, Gary. That's also part of why we can fuck with you, too. But knowing that, Gary, you know, you've done such great stuff. And I always make the aside that whenever they hear you speak clearly, they know you're pissed off and shit. So they know it means they really got to pay attention. And there are a lot more people that are paying attention, you know, on your show as well as this one. And I want to say thank you for your participation. Now it's time for your shameless plug, brother.
Well, let me say this. I learned from Fred Winnett. We got to tell our history. I learned from Michael Lewis Ingram. Our man and our governor, our man, our gun. I learned from Travis Singleton, being a young brother. I learned from Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who could be president with the table. I learned from Harriet Tubman, the first liberated black disabled woman.
Yeah, sure.
See? History. We had to tell our history. And Harriet Tubman was the first black disabled liberator.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody needs to know that, understand that. We must continue to fight. I had to thank WCLM for allowing me to be on their show. Okay? History. I will be the first African-American to table on a national sports radio show, WCLM.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere else in the country has ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
We had to tell our history. I had the same this bug. It'll be no good for cold this week because I won't be in town. I'll be in next week to clear up a cold. I'm going to try to get Travis on the air on my show and then we go to my show next week at 1 Pacific 4 Eastern on BrotherRadio.com.
Here we go. Right on, brother. Again, all the best to you and yours, G. We do this every week. We get in and ride, and we'll take care of Frank and his posse every week. Because my chefs are always outnumbered. We're never outgunned. We all know how to shoot, and we hit everything we shoot at. Having said that, my book, Imitation and Life, is available for purchase on Amazon.com and downloadable via Kindle. Something else to put under the tree. Y'all know what to do when y'all got to put that book up in that face. Read, baby, read. Because thinking ain't illegal yet. Now, having said that, as far as our programming is concerned, we will be on the air Saturday afternoon at our normal time. Sunday we will have a music show at 9 o'clock. Maybe we'll start to get into a holiday theme to some degree as we pay homage to the old school. And a shout out to our peeps at Old Schoolology Essence of Music who have inspired and kept the third show going and whatnot. We get a lot of great feedback from it, and we're grateful for you. In January, Gary and I will be doing some music shows together, tying in with some set themes. Hope you all dig it. But in the meantime, for my final thought, I want to go back where we started in talking about the young sister who was attacked because of her hair. You know, we get raw here at times, and, you know, some folks might think it's just straight profanity, but the real profanity is how this young girl and others like her are being treated. You know, make no mistake about this. What's going on here is war. And if you don't believe me, think about this. You know, the Greeks and the Trojans went into some war over a piece of ass. You know, they called it Helen of Troy.
But the bottom line was when they decided to snatch her ass up and mess with her, that sparked the war. When Chief Osceola, chief of the Seminole Nation, came to trade with some of the whites that had settled in the area, and his wife, who happened to be a black woman, was among them, they wanted to capture her and take her as a slave because he wasn't supposed to have her. Chief Osceola wasn't having any of that, and that started the second of the Seminole Wars that also don't find your history books in this country. So now we're faced with a different kind of war. Still a war, but there's no obvious bodies strewn all over the place. No, what they're trying to do is destroy as many minds as possible. That young girl who's being subjected to all this kind of nonsense because of her hair, we have to protect her and also make sure she doesn't become a casualty, because post-traumatic stress disorder doesn't just happen on the battlefield where you see body parts strewn all over the place. It happens when that space between the ears is damaged beyond recognition. Everybody have a safe and sane Thanksgiving. Please travel safe. If you do partake, make sure somebody else is driving. For all of our chefs here, for Rhonda Harper, for Bobby Booker, for Cheryl Jones, for Celestial Walden, for Professor Fred Widdit, for Travis Singleton, for our old friend Jimmy Stevens, all the other associates like Craig Stroman and Miss Crabtree who come on, for Gary Norris Gray. Everybody have a great Thanksgiving. I got to test these greens.
BlackAthlete.com.
Now we got the spirit that can never give in, with a heart that pumps stronger than 10 average men. It's something within, I was born to win. You can't hold me down, I'm a black champion. We had to fight for equal rights, on and off the court, and at the turn of the century, dominated sports for the love of the game. Endured the pain and fought through segregation, had to make a change. Jackie Robinson, first black man to get a deal in the major league, knocking home runs out the field. Led the whole lead in RBIs and steals in his first year, MVP rookie of the year. Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, and Minnie Minosa paved the way for Reggie Jackson, Ken Griffey, and Sammy Sosa. Half of all MVPs in the history of baseball's been black athletes. That's why we excel in all our feats, cause we so deep, mentally, physically, and spiritually. So all I wanna do is thank my God, we worked so hard, came so far, black athletes, superstar.
Light through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Light through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Light through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Light through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat.
Now, basketball is my favorite of all sports, cause there's so many black athletes that ever blessed the court. Will Chamberlain must be the most famous, scored 100 points in the game, and no one to do the same as Elgin Baylor, Bill Russell, and Connie Hawkins. Who's the best to play the sport? Dr. J or Michael Jordan? Played above the rim when they scored, hung in the air when they scored, made moves like never before. So all my black athletes, entrepreneurs, you open up the doors, you deserve a round of applause. The pigskin, the gridiron, where bodies be colliding, and the men must be made of iron. Where would football be without the great Jim Brown? Austin Payton breaking tackles and running for touchdowns. So if you ever had to stop him, it'd be crushing, because he still holds the records for the most yards rushing. Smooth with quick moves like dancers, Emmitt Smith, Tyrell Davis, and the great Barry Sanders. All I want to do is thank my God, who worked so hard, came so far, black athlete, superstar.
The eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Light through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Light through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Light through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat.
Jack Johnson, a heavyweight champion in 1910, fought the best of American men. And the fourth of the century took place on Independence Day, and the purse was 100 G's to pay. The most eagerly awaited event in American history, Jack Johnson versus Jim Jeffries. Nothing Frederick Douglass ever did, nothing Booker T ever did, shocked the world like this did. The great white hope came tumbling down, beaten and bruised and knocked out in the 15th round. Muhammad Ali, the greatest heavyweight champion of all time, at least he was in his mind. He gained the heavyweight championship a record 3 times and successfully defended it 19 times. The third youngest, the third oldest heavyweight champion. His career spanned the 7 presidents.
The eyes of the black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat.